In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle tells us today that we are laborers together with God. What does that mean? And it's a great dignity to be laborers together with God. Well, God has entrusted us to participate in the creation of life. He created life in the beginning, from nothing. But now, life is created by us. In the sacrament of marriage, when children are born, that is the creation of life. That we are honored to participate and labor together with God. But what is life created for? What are we created for? To know God. So part of that creation of life must also be to teach that new life the purpose of their life. And this is also part of our laboring together with God. What an honor it is to work together with God, the one who created all things and needs nothing, owns the cattle on the thousand hills, has requested of us, each one of us, to labor together with Him for the salvation of everyone. Because the Lord wills that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And we are those who must labor together with Him so that all would be saved. This is a great dignity that we have. We should remember this every day. This is why you're here. You're here to know God and to teach others to know God. So that's important in life. And it is a great dignity to work for God. We are God's husbandry. We are God's building. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit abides in us. And if we follow the groanings of the Holy Spirit within us, and things that cannot be said in words, they can only be felt in the soul, then we will lead others to know God. Of course, the only way you can show others to know God is to know Him yourself. Because this is true of everything. You can't give what you do not have. If you don't know God, you can't teach others to know God. If you're not kind, you can't teach others to be kind. If you're not humble, you won't teach others to be humble. If you're not holy, no one will learn to be holy from following your example. So, it is incumbent on us to become good and holy so that we can teach others to become good and holy. This is the purpose of our life. First, for us to become good and holy. And then through that change, others around us will see the change. We all know what St. Seraphim said, right? You acquire the Spirit of God and a thousand around you will be saved. This is true evangelism. To become holy and have that holiness spread to others. And this is what the Apostle is speaking of here. He says, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth upon it. So, what is it that you will build with? He says, every man should take care of what he uses for these building materials. What should he add to the foundation? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. All of these things are added to the foundation. And what he's speaking of here is, the apostle, of course, preached to those in Corinth and everywhere else. He was writing here to the Corinthians. But certainly these letters got propagated, so a lot of people heard them from various places, and now they're down where we read them. So they're read all over the world. And this preaching, people believed, and they were baptized. And that is the foundation. The belief in Jesus Christ and baptism. Of course, belief means the desire to change. Not just saying, I know these things about God, I believe these facts. But a desire to change. A knowledge of your own nature, that it is wounded, and that it needs Christ. And that the only way to obtain healing for your calamities is through Jesus Christ. First through baptism, the beginning, and then the process of learning with the Holy Spirit helping so that we would become holy and so that we would no longer sin. We would no longer be captives to sin and slaves to it. So, let us see what we would build with. The gold, the silver, the precious stones, what are these things? Well, primarily they are described by our Lord's statement when He said, whenever you do this to the least of these, you do it unto Me. And you do it unto the Lord. If you do something unto the Lord, then it is gold, silver, and precious stones. If you do it with humility, if you do it with love, with kindness, with zeal, the right kind of zeal, the zeal which is the love of God, then it will be gold, silver, and precious stones. Now the problem is, we're very proud creatures. So sometimes we do something that we think is good, but it is not. These things will be found out in time if we avail ourselves of the way of life of the church. Eventually these things will be found out. That we're doing something that we think was good, but actually it wasn't. The action might have been good, but if the intent was not good, that it is not gold or silver or precious stones. Instead, it's stubble, and it will burn away. When my children were little, we had two metaphors that we talked about all the time. It got them very, very excited. One was that whenever you do something good, you take a brick and you're building a beautiful wall, and you add a brick to the wall. But when you do something bad, often it was in the context of arguing with their brother or sister or something like that, or lying or whatever a child might do, you take a brick off the wall. When you do something really bad, you take several bricks off the wall. And you want to build this beautiful wall because you want to build a beautiful house. So this is in line with this, with the Lord, what the apostle is saying. We build with gold, silver, precious stones. When you do something that's truly good, you're putting a brick on the wall to build the house. Another thing we used to say was, you have a crown on your head. And that crown has precious stones, diamonds and rubies and sapphires and emeralds. And every time you do something good, you add another stone. And when you do something bad, you take one away. And who wants a crown with little holes in it where all the stones should have been? It's really as simple as that, brothers and sisters. It was stories told to children, but that doesn't make them any less true. It's exactly true. When we do unto the Lord, we build onto the foundation. When we do not do unto the Lord, we take away from the foundation. Now, what is this that the apostle says? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. He's talking about the judgment. The fire is the judgment. Now, he says that if any man's work abide that he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. So if you've done unto the Lord, then the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. But the things that you have not done unto the Lord, they will be burned, and it will be a loss for you. And if you have not lived a life where you're really attempting and struggling to follow the commandments, that loss will be great. The fall of that house will be very great, because you will have this loss for eternity. That is hell. To have desires that can never be fulfilled. To remember things that cause us shame and to have no way to have this shame relieved. This is hell. But heaven, with our Heavenly Father, is when He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Because we have built upon our foundation with precious materials, with the love of God, with a struggle to follow the commandments, with desire to know God intimately, with humility, with prayer, with fasting. as unto the Lord. Anything you do as unto the Lord is building upon your foundation. Now he says that the man who has this stubble and this wood and hay and other inferior materials on his foundation, he will suffer loss. But he himself may be saved as though through fire. You really want to go through that? That's not just in the judgment now. That's now as well. Just as the Lord said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. We are experiencing the resurrection now. It's not something to be experienced later. The experience of the resurrection should be in you now. Also, the experience of Him is within us now when we build with inferior materials. Everyone has felt the loss of something that really you shouldn't have been coveting. It's a very painful loss. Everyone has felt the sting of pride, of ambition, of jealousy, of lust. And if we're fortunate, those things will be burned away and we'll become aware that they were things that were sending us far away from God. And that's good. But the process isn't. The process is painful. The process is burning and making us suffer loss. It's painful. Do you want to avoid it? Well, we're human and we sin. So it cannot be completely avoided. But if our desire is to know God, if our desire is to follow the commandments and to know Jesus Christ, God the Father and the Holy Spirit intimately because of experiential knowledge, then there will be less of that loss that will be so painful. Especially as time goes on and the Lord gives us strength against things that we formerly were not strong against. Perhaps in the past we cursed, now we don't. Perhaps in the past we had struggles with lust, and now we find that we are able to have chastity in our heart, at least more often than before. Perhaps we used to be jealous and covet, but that sting of jealousy and covetousness doesn't visit us so much anymore. That's because of effort. And over time, it comes to us that these things are really unimportant in the great scheme of things. You know, the saddest thing to see is an old person that has all the lusts and all the ambition and all the jealousy and all the pride of a young person. It's not supposed to be like that. Old people should be superior to young people because they've gone through life and seen what is good and what is bad and learned to cleave to the good and drop the bad over a process of time. So in this life, there is this judgment occurring also. Not just in the next life. That will be the final judgment, when everything is brought before the Lord and we're aware that He knows everything. And so the things that we clung to in the past, if we're still clinging to them when we die, then we will suffer great loss in the judgment. It will be painful to the soul. Perhaps we will be saved. But also in this life, we're suffering great loss. You can do something about both. Consider yourself to be a laborer together with God. How often do we think this? In the morning, do we think, I am a co-laborer with God. I have great dignity. God has enlisted me as one of His emissaries, as one of His army. I am representing the King. How many of us think that way? Or do we think of the next thing we have to do, or we have to go to this meeting or do that, or, you know, whatever it is that our day leads us to? When you get up in the morning, you are a laborer for God. And if you think in this way, then that will save you from a lot of sins. It will save you from a lot of loss. So remember, brothers and sisters, you are laborers for God. It's not just the priests and the bishops and the monks. We are all the royal priesthood. We are all called to lift one another up, both in prayer and in actions. The things we say to one another, and the things we do to and for one another. We are all laborers for God. And if we have this in our mind, and in the way we live, then we will be building with precious materials that will stand the fire of judgment. And then at that judgment day, the Lord will look at us and He will see the image which He has given of Himself has been finely polished and carefully taken care of so that it is now the likeness of Himself. So He will see Himself in us and He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." May it be for all of us.